Oh, there he is. He's holding the cup, you weirdo. All right. All right, punch it.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
What's up, babes? Welcome back to What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. That means it's a podcast about your Stanley Cup champions. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. It has been a short summer, but man, you guys missed us, right? I know you missed us. We missed you guys! And the Caps are in training camp. They've already had a couple rounds of cuts. So Coach Dan and I decided it is time to do a show before the big dance, before the banner gets raised. Because the Capitals are the Stanley Cup champions. Can I just say, Coach, I never get tired of saying that. Like, any way I can weasel that into the conversation with anyone, hey, by the way, the Caps, they're the Stanley Cup champions, I do it. What about you?
I still, it doesn't feel real. Right? Like, I'll still go back and I'll watch the highlights and things, and I'll watch Eller's goal and Smith Pelly's goal, and then them celebrating. And I'm still like, nuh-uh.
There are times where I will, like, there's nothing on TV and I'm bored, and then I'll just replay the last 5 minutes of the game, because I DVR'd the final game, but I still have it on the DVR. I have not deleted it.
End of it. I don't have the whole game.
The local news came on after like 20 minutes of celebration, so I'm a little ticked off. I lost a little bit of the celebration, but I do have the full game. I got to figure out how to get that off the DVR. I don't know how yet.
I don't know.
I'll figure it out. But anyway, so it has been a short summer. I got like 2 weeks off of podcasting until I had to ramp back up again with the Ravens training camp. So like, I'm already like, you know, mid-season form. So let's talk a little bit about training camp. The Capitals have had a bunch of games. One guy who has not been in the lineup at all, Devontae Smith-Pelly. He got re-signed. He came back. He's a full-time Capital, but we have not seen him yet. And they're saying it's just because dude's been partying in the summer and maybe party a little too hard, and he's not ready for games yet.
Yeah, I don't know if he's been partying too much, but it sounds like he's just not up to speed on where he needs to be playing in these games, even if they are preseason. And it's, you know, it's a little disappointing to see. I get it that, like, they've had less time than everybody but Vegas to get back into shape and get themselves back into sort of that game shape and prepare for the speed that is the NHL. But you know what you have to do. This isn't new. He's not a rookie. He isn't a second-year player. Like, he's been doing this for many years. He's been fighting for years, you know, to stick on an NHL roster. It's not like, and this isn't to be a shot at him necessarily, but it's not like he's a guy who is, you know, he's been a mainstay on a roster for a long time on the same team. So it's a bit disappointing to see that this is how his preseason has started. And you got to hope he's going to play soon and be that difference maker in the regular season that he was during the postseason.
And again, he got other offers to go other places. He was only with the Caps for a 1 year deal, but he took less money and less years to stay with the Washington Capitals. So, I mean, he's dedicated to this team. He likes this area. He likes this team. So, I mean, he's just, you know, he's got a couple extra pounds to lose, you know, and he'll be back on the ice. But what does this mean? I mean, there's only three games left, I believe, in the preseason. Does this, like, hurt his chances of making that opening night roster? Because, I mean, even if you get into shape and you're ready to go, your legs might still be a little, you know, rusty from not having that gameplay under your belt with, you know, missing the preseason.
I feel like this gives a chance for a guy who's maybe, I mean, we pretty much know what this roster is going to be going into the regular season. The only real question mark right now is that fourth line center spot. And even that isn't really a question anymore. Like, I'm pretty confident that it's going to be the guy they signed in the offseason, Nick Dowd. that he's going to end up as, at least to start the season, as that fourth line center. But I feel like if Smith-Pelly's not ready, this gives a guy like a Travis Boyd, like a Shane Gersick, a Nathan Walker, the guy they signed on September 1st from the KHL, Sergei Shumakov, or maybe even a Riley Barber. It gives one of these guys an opportunity to play a game or two in the NHL and really make Todd Reirden, really make Brian McClellan and these guys think about, you know, maybe we should give them a more of a look and give them more of an opportunity. And for a guy like Smith-Pelly, who was phenomenal in the postseason, mm-hmm. the reality of professional sports is it's what have you done for me lately? And that is a reality of all professional sports, not just the NHL. It's, you know, the NFL is the same way. If you're not producing, you're not going to play anymore. That's the reality of the situation. So I think if he's not going to be prepared to play, it gives an opportunity for another young guy. Shumakov's like 26. Does he still count as a young guy?
I mean, I guess he would be considered a young guy, yeah. But at the same time, he's not a young gun. He's young to North America. So he's
what?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
He is he's a foreign exchange student. He's like the he's got life experience, but it's not the same.
All right, so you're being a little goofy, but you actually did in the ridiculous come up with a good point.
Thank you.
Don't point at your head, doesn't count. He does have experience, and that is very true. He's been playing in the KHL. He played last season with CSKA Moscow, where he did quite well. And so you kind of wonder, is he going to be able to take that experience and bring it over to the NHL? And we've seen guys that have done that in the past, and we've seen guys, I feel like more often than not, and I could be wrong, that it doesn't translate over in quite the same way. Like, he's not an Ilya Kovalchuk where he's going to come back or an Jaromir Jagr and be this ridiculous player.
Was that Kovalchuk's team he was on? Or was that a different team?
I don't know.
I think Kovalchuk was on Ska, if I'm...
Siska? I don't know. So, either way. But, you know, I think a guy like a Shumakov, a Barber, I think more likely Boyd or Gersick or maybe even Walker will have more of an opportunity to play on that first, on that fourth line in this first maybe game or two, maybe longer, and kind of force the coaching staff to really think about it, you know, and really think, well, maybe this guy can play more than DSP. Maybe he does deserve the opportunity to try or get that opportunity to actually be out there and playing, seeing as how, yes, they won a cup, but it wasn't like Smith-Pelly had a phenomenal regular season last year. You know, he came in, he stepped up during the playoffs, which was fantastic. But, you know, can you be a team that only has decent players or maybe not even decent players during the regular season, make the playoffs and then be able to vote? Now, we're talking about last season about how they were not going to make, you know, we weren't really sure if they were going to make the playoffs. We're pretty confident they make the playoffs, but how much further they were going to get, we weren't really sure. We'd said this is the weakest team on paper we'd seen in the last number of years. And then they went ahead and won the Stanley Cup. So it's a little weird. Like, coming this season being like, they have the exact same team, so are they going to be as good? You still look at it and go, I see a bunch of guys I just don't know about, and this is a team that just won the cup. So it's going to be interesting, but right now, you can't help but be a little disappointed at Smith-Pelly. If he's not playing because he's not in game shape, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, it's kind of crazy that this team hasn't really changed much from the Stanley Cup win.
Don't see that very often.
No, you don't. I mean, I guess the Penguins did it when they went back to back.
Teams don't make dramatic changes, but you have a couple of guys. Like
you win a cup and
some of your role player, like a role player or two will move out. The literal only guy that left is Jay Beagle. I mean, that really made a difference, right? Yarabek went to, I think, Edmonton, offered him a PTO.
But he wasn't coming back.
No, he wasn't coming back. But, like, he was there. And he played a little bit in the regular season. Chiasson went to – I don't remember now.
Well, you look up Chiasson. I got to tell you, I mean
– he went somewhere. But, like, you don't really see – sorry. You never really see a team that, like, doesn't – like, it's the exact same freaking team.
Which could be good and bad. It could be good because this has proven that they can win a cup. Could also be bad because now there's more tape than ever on this team because they went so far, and it's a lot of stuff people can study later on in the season to see what worked and what didn't against this team. Losing Jay Beagle, though, you know how big of a fan I am of Beagles, and I absolutely hate that. I have a feeling like we're not going to realize how much we lost with Beagle until, you know, it comes down to those really hard fought games that come down in the last 5 seconds, you know, could go into overtime or something, because Jay Beagle was a huge part of this team. He was the longest tenured guy behind Ovi and Backstrom. He was a veteran in the locker room. We're losing a lot by losing Jay Beagle, but he's in Vancouver now. He got paid. I mean, he's making lots of money, so I get it. But I have a feeling like in the next couple months, it's going to be like, why isn't this working? Why isn't that working? It's because Jay Beagle's not here.
Both Yerbeck and Chiasson are currently with Edmonton in their training camp, in their camp, I believe.
Huh. Well, good for them.
It's my understanding. I don't know if they're going to make the roster, but they're there. Either way. No, I think the loss of Beagle will affect them somewhat. We've been seeing the team talk about Kuznetsov maybe taking some time on the PK, which I think is rather interesting to see what they'll do there. So that'll be kind of fun to see. I still haven't gotten a Vancouver Canucks Jay Beagle t-shirt yet. Okay, that's to come in the future.
A jersey.
I will get his jersey. I will definitely get a Jay Beagle Vancouver. I have the Ryan Miller Jay Beagle. Not Jay Beagle. What is wrong with me? Right, it's because it's getting late and I'm old. The Ryan Miller Vancouver Canucks jersey sitting over there in the closet. But I do want a Jay Beagle jersey. But yeah, I agree with you. I think the team on the PK, especially, it will hurt to lose a guy like Beagle. I think they'll be okay in the long run. I think if a guy like, I don't know if Dowd, if that's necessarily his style, or if someone can come up and play in that Beagle role. I mean, we used to say the same things about like when Hendricks left, Bradley left, these guys in the PK. Oh my God, what's his freaking name? I'm totally blanking on it right now. Oh God, he's my center. He was the one who elbowed Crosby unintentionally.
Steckel.
Thank you. I knew it was an S.
It was Crosby. That's all I had to say.
Well, I didn't want to because it's mean. You know, he had the thing with Dave Steckel. And he, you know, at one point we were like, oh no. And then Beagle comes up and is that guy. So the reality is good teams can replace role players with young guys or veterans. Right now they're trying to do that with a veteran, Nick Dowd. Or maybe you bring up a young guy that can be the new Jay Beagle in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only spot that's kind of open, barring that there's no injuries or whatever. But this, you know, they've kind of split up on in training camp. They kind of split up into two groups. And the red group this past Sunday, as Russian Machine was reporting, you've got Holpe and Copley in net. We pretty much saw that coming. Kepney, Carlson, Orlov, Niskanen, Orpik, Juice. Juice and Bowie could maybe be switching around, but it seems as if Bowie's a little bit in the doghouse as well, because I gotta say, I mean, Barry Trotz, he talked a lot, you know, about his players, but Todd Reirden, man, he just puts it out there and says, yeah, this guy's not doing what he's supposed to. Like, he calls the guys out. It's kind of crazy. But anyway, so Ovi, Kuzi, Wilson, Verana, Backe, Oshie, Burakovsky, Eller, Connolly, Stevenson, Dowd, Smith, Pelly. Dowd and it seems as if Travis Boyd are going to be the two guys that could potentially swap in that role. So really,
yeah, there's
not many spots. It's Juice and Bowie, and then it's, or it could be guys like Hobbs or something like that. You know, Johannes Singenthaler, he's on the other side, so it doesn't look like he's going to do anything barring any injuries. But those two spots that Dowd and Juice have right now are the only two that could really swap some players out going into opening night.
See, I would almost go, Juice has pretty much got himself a roster spot. I feel like it's Bowie, Orpik, and who were they talking about the other day? I think Singenthaler that really have a shot at potentially making the roster. But I think Madison Bowie, that's the guy you're looking at to make a step up this year.
I mean, you and I both gave him what the puckies for not being the greatest player last year.
He had a disappointing year. He had moments where he shined. You're like, oh, there's that player that we want to see. And it's not like we needed to see him be this all-star, but we need to see him basically be what Christian Juice became.
Right.
A reliable third-pairing defenseman who every once in a while you're like, damn, that dude could play on the second or even first pairing one day. You know, you want to see those spurts in between solid enough play for a third liner where you're expecting mistakes to happen and they may cost you a goal from time to time, but it's not the end of the world. But it felt like Bowie just was not progressing at the level that you wanted him to. Juice definitely did, if not exceeded the expectations, I feel like, amongst fans. And so he did, you know, Juice is a guy I think has definitely made this roster going into opening night. And then, you know, it's Orpik, and can he maintain that level that he was sort of at for part of last season? Or is it, you know, Bowie's turn or Singenthaler's turn?
Yeah, I mean, if Orpik or somebody were to go down, you could get like Aaron Ness, Jonas Singenthaler.
People are obsessed with Ness.
Yeah, but let's talk a little bit about Orpik, though, because one of the reasons why Christian Juice has become that dynamic player could be because he's paired with such a veteran who is a leader in the locker room. He has the alternate captain A on his jersey, Brooks Orpik. For all intents and purposes, it looked like he was not going to be a Capital this year. He got traded away with Philip Grubauer in the draft, and then he got bought out and then got a new contract with the team that let him go in the first place, the Washington Capitals. Now, the NHL said that he's not allowed to talk about it to the media. They don't seem very happy about how this deal went down, because it seems like it was kind of like a closed door, like, hey, you take this cap hit, we'll give you a goalie, buy him out. And then almost as if he was given a heads up, like, look, we're letting you go, but you're going to make all your money anyway. You can get an extra million by coming back with us. So he took a 1 year deal at $1 million. I mean, wow. not bad to be making a extra $1 million in this year. But it's kind of crazy how they did this. I mean, it's almost as if, like, you know, you're at a casino and you beat the house. It's like Ocean's 11 type of stuff here. But Orpik,
I mean, a little dramatic there, Brandon.
The NHL is ticked. Like, you know, they're not happy with them.
There's no rule against it. So yes,
there, like, will I be. Think, I predict if, there oh, will be.
They're damn sure. Yeah, there will be. But I, you know, in reality, is it, there was no rule against it. And I feel like, you know, if I'm a Penguins fan or I'm a fan who sees this is not a Caps fan, you know, I'm like, what the hell? That's so cheap. It's the reality of the situation. You know, the fact that they brought him back, I thought was great. The fact that they brought him back for so cheap was even better. I think his cap hit comes out to 1.5, I want to say, because of, like, bonuses. But I think his salary is $1 million a year. But I think the reason it actually works out really nicely is I don't think you can find a guy of his quality that you can get for only $1 million that already knows your system. So you're not having to teach him all of the new things that you would have to teach a veteran guy. Well, that's not as much as a young guy. And it also shows the team is not prepared to bring up a young guy. I mean, you look at a situation where you had a guy like Bowie who was ready to break into the roster, would have played really well, but Orpik was just that one step ahead of him.
But they were on separate sides.
I think
they would have been paired together.
Well, if you're looking at it too much, that's not the point. The point is, if it was Bowie's time to shine, right? Like his turn to be on that third pairing, I don't think Orpik would come back. I don't think they would have offered him the deal. I think the reason he's back is because they're not. Part of it is because he knows the roster, he knows the team, and he's cheap enough that if it's Bowie's turn or Singenthaler or Lewington or Johansson or Johansson, whatever his name is. Like, if they were ready, you could put Orpik up in the press box and not be like, damn, that cap hit sucks. That is just sitting there, dead cap money, right? It's $1 million, $1.5 million, not the end of the world. Whereas I feel like if Bowie was ready or one of these young guys was ready, they might have gone out and signed a veteran who would still have to learn the ropes, but was more likely playing as a seventh defenseman most nights, right? So I think part of it, Orpik coming back is not some – part of it is he knows the system, and part of it is they just don't think any of their young guys are ready yet.
So let me play devil's advocate here real quick and just say hypothetically, now that Brooks Orpik is here for a year, he's got the lower contract, it's only $1 million. He has not been benched once in his tenure with the Capitals. Could he be a healthy scratch to give a guy like Bowie some playing time? If like, let's say Bowie misses the first 8 games, sits up in the press box, they're looking for somebody to bench, they put Orpik. Could they put Orpik in the press box to give this kid some playing time?
Yeah.
Or does that hurt? Does it hurt Orpik by going like, you're the veteran?
Is it going to hurt his potential?
Like, he's like
95 in the hockey terms.
Like, well, he's only like 38.
I know, but you know, like dog, he's 95 in professional sports years, right? Like in dog years, you're this age. He's 111, right? Like Orpik's coming to the end of his playing days in terms of being. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the guy is going to go on and play for another, like, you know, 4 or 5 years. I could be wrong here, but I think a part of it depends on Christian Juice. If Juice is playing at a high level and you're not as concerned about Juice playing with Bowie, then it's okay. Or do you switch it up and you put like Orlov with Juice and Bowie with Niskanen or something like that? And so you can kind of mix it up a little bit with the second and third pairings if you want to give Bowie some ice time. I feel like Orpik's a guy who's not going to, like, I hope he's not a guy who's going to necessarily be like pissing or moaning if he doesn't get what he wants. You know, if he doesn't get to play, he doesn't get to play at night, because the reality is he's not the future. These young guys are. And while this team, yes, is about the right now, seeing as how they just won a cup, you do have to keep an eye on the future, because you have a lot of young guys that in the defensive that play defense that are potentially ready to make that step up in the next couple of years. And at some point, they're going to need to get experience. So, or the coaching staff and the front office are going to need to see these guys actually playing in the NHL to know if they're ready to make that next step.
Now, another guy who has some veteran leadership, has been with the system for a little bit, but getting his first chance being a part of the team in a new role, head coach Todd Reirden, who has been the guy behind the bench assisting Barry Trotz.
So typical of DC sports. You win a championship, and then the head coach leaves like a week later. And you're like, what the fuck? Whatever.
Look, we really enjoyed your system. We got this deal in place. Thanks for your time. See you later. Bye. But I mean, I know the points and the score doesn't matter in preseason, but the Caps have yet to get a W at all since winning the Stanley Cup. So
it's not good.
Is that
it's not the end of the world? But at some point, you're kind of like, can you guys win a preseason game? Like,
this is supposed to be the easy stuff.
I mean, the DC sport. It's so tough. Like, we're still kind of clinging to the fact that we have a cup and then they're the champions and yada, yada. And it's going to be great. And even I feel like if they do, if no other DC, yes, I know he's holding up the Stanley Cup, folks. If no other, have you drank anything out of the cup?
I have not. I'm waiting to take it to Jimmy Seafood on opening night. And I'm going to drink out of it.
I'm still
there.
Trying to get tickets on opening night.
That ain't happening.
You can get tickets. You want to shell out a lot for it. A friend of mine is going, so I'm hoping to try and get something. Anyways, like I was going to say, in DC sports, we got like the Nats suck. Orioles ungodly bad.
They're not even a team anymore.
They've been demoted to single A short season. the Skins are not really sure about. They're like really good week one.
I was the only one in the office pool to not pick them last week.
And then they're really good week three. I'm kind of following the Bills. I was at that game, Bills versus Ravens.
Technically, I was too.
Yes, you were. I'm sitting there and I'm looking over at the screen at M&T Bank Stadium. And I'm like, I think actually my wife was like, isn't that Brandon? I looked over and I was like, hey, let me get a picture. So I sent it to him. I was there for that. The Bills. And then yesterday, Josh Allen just leaping over people. And then the Ravens are they 3-0? 2-1?
2-1.
2-1. Okay. But, DC United's proving pretty good right now. They're making that push for the playoffs, getting Wayne Rooney. This is really an opportunity for the Caps to really stake a claim here. Like, I don't think anyone's ever going to pass the Redskins, but the Caps, you got to feel like they're number two in the area right now. You know, for a little bit it was the Wizards, but they've regressed a bit. And there's a lot of problems and things going on in the locker room potentially between players. You're not really sure. So the Caps really have an opportunity. So I don't even remember what we're talking about. I started this whole rant, but you can't have, you got to have these guys ready to go opening night. Smith Pelly may not be the guy at that point. And you can't necessarily have the time to plug in a bunch of young guys because you need to keep up that momentum. Cause I feel like you don't want to become that team like we've seen in the past that win a cup and then don't make the playoffs for a couple years in a row.
What does this say, though, about Todd Reirden? I mean, he's starting off his tenure as head coach.
That's what we're talking about.
And he's starting off as this is his first time as a head coach, and he's got a whole bunch of L's. No W's.
It's a preseason. I don't care.
I
think part of it
is... Are we thinking, like, Halloween, and we still are without a W, and they're like, oh, I wonder if we can get Barry back.
Barry! We'll let you grow out facial hair. And the Islanders, Lou Lamoriello, won't let his teams, I think, have facial hair. It's weird.
What?
Dude, I think that's a thing.
I couldn't play with him.
Neither could I at the moment. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a bit weird. No, I'm not overly concerned. It'd be great if they get a win in the preseason. But you're also, like, mixing up your roster all the time, and you're having guys play with other guys that aren't going to make the team. So I'm not overly concerned at the moment.
By the way, best value opening night, lower level, center, row M, $342.
That's the cheapest ticket right now?
No, that's the best value. The cheapest seat is mezzanine end, 427, row O, $240.81.
Nope.
Two tickets.
I was at a friend's birthday, and we were talking about this, and he's more of a basketball fan and a Wizards fan than a Caps fan. And we were talking about, like, how much would you pay to go to see your team raise a banner in their championship, so NBA championship, Stanley Cup. And he was saying there's not a price you could put on it. He would pay anything. And I was like, I'm a big Caps fan. I'd love to be there. But I also like other things. And I'd like to be able to afford other things, like my house and groceries and gasoline to put in my car. So as much as I want to be there, I'll see the banner when I go to a game. It'd be great to watch it go up. But if I'm not there, I'll enjoy that like $400 that I didn't spend.
See, here's the thing. I went to game 3 and was outside. I didn't do the parade. There are
parade was cool.
So many bandwagon fans that it like
hold on. I have to take a grievance with this comment.
Hold on. Let me finish. Let me finish.
All right, go ahead. I might, like, write it down so I remember what I'm going
to say. You and I have been diehard fans for a long time. And you and I became friends because of hockey. But there...
The video production.
What was that?
The video production.
That's true.
Being a star was our major.
But when I was down there for the game, a lot of people down there didn't care, like, who was playing, didn't know who, like, Oshie was. Was just there to get high, pretty much, and drink. And that was pretty much it. Like, they were just there for the atmosphere and for the party. Now, a lot of the people that are going to that first game, I mean, I think that it's going to be a lot of that crowd. So, do I want to be there with a bunch of people that didn't dedicate a lot of their time, like I did, to the team? I don't know. Like, I'd rather go to a Wednesday game that's $6. That's
you ain't getting those $6 tickets this season,
man. Not anymore, but 2 years ago I did.
Really?
Yeah. And it was fine. It was fun. I had a good time. Like, I went to go kiss the real Stanley Cup, and I waited in line for 6.5 hours. The majority of people there, like,
that's terrible.
They were not fans. They just were like, hey,
it's the party atmosphere and the party environment.
Right.
And I can understand that to some extent. And I feel like you kind of get that in a lot of cities where teams – and I think some of it is because DC, we haven't had a championship in one of the major sports in such a long time.
Sure.
And so I get like – I mean, the last time I want to say was Maryland or DC United would have been the last like major championship, right? Yeah. That they won. So, you know, this was an opportunity, and it's not a shot at any, like, the Washington Capitals, world team tennis, I think is what it's called. One of the major sports teams, the Capitals, the first one in such a long time for DC, that it became more about the party environment and just the celebration of DC sports in general. And what it meant for the area and what it meant even to the other teams where they're like, well, if they got to do it, I want to do that too. And, like, the Nats kind of had that for, like, a week, and then they started sucking again. But they had an opportunity to really build upon that. And so I think that's part of it. But I remember going – I have friends who are Penguins fans, and I remember going to games at Mellon Arena back when the Penguins sucked. And I remember us standing in line for – what do they call it? Student rush tickets, something like that, where you could go in half an hour before the game, an hour before the game, and get lower bowl tickets for $20, you know? Because the stadium was never full because the team was crappy. Same time the Caps were crappy. And that's why I could get, you know, those Eagles nest tickets years ago for $10 to sit up in the rafters. Now it's like $60 to sit up in the rafters. The reality is winning breeds fans. Winning sure. brings in fans, gets puts butts in the seats. And for anyone, like, each year Penguins fans are like, oh, now you guys have all these fans since Ovechkin came in. I was there in Mellon Arena before Crosby when they sucked. And even with Crosby, I think, maybe not. And they didn't have anybody, you know, they didn't have butts in the seats. That's the reality of sports. Winning breeds champion. Unless you're in Canada, you're not getting a lot of people in your stadium if you're not winning. It's highly unlikely.
And so, I get that. I do. I understand that completely.
I think the thing outside of the arena was more of the party environment.
Right. But, like, the fact that they sold out the viewing party the next night, you know, they, as the Caps continue to win, those viewing parties became more and more popular. So, am I going to go and spend, you know, $500 on a seat? Yeah, I'd love to. I'm not gonna. But it's a, and if you are new to the team, I'm not mad at you or anything like that. Thanks for listening to the show.
Dare you.
Thanks for listening to the show and learning about the Caps.
And get out.
But I'm a fan. I'm not media. I'm not press. I'm nothing like that. I'm just a dude who talks into a mic about the team that he enjoys. And that's that. I mean, like, I don't want special treatment or anything like that, but I'm not going crazy, and I'm not gonna spend all this crazy money to go see a game and see the banner raised when I can go to a bar down the street. Get a Rock the Red cocktail while eating some a crab cake Jimmy's burger. That's what I'm going to do. It's a burger with a crab cake on top. It's amazing.
Interesting.
Yeah, you should come up and try one. They're amazing.
Dude, back on topic. Preseason doesn't really matter. You know, once we see the full lineup, I think these guys will be better. I think we are going to have a little bit of a Stanley Cup hangover at the beginning of the season. I think they'll struggle a little bit, and then they'll turn it up.
I also think, you know, that...
He's got a couple of nights. He's getting a little less sleep. He's got a kid now.
Yeah, so, but the dude know, came in 4 pounds lighter to training camp than he did last year.
Yeah, because he's up all the time. He's got to carry a kid everywhere, and he's got to go and do something. So he's, you know, he doesn't have a chance to eat because he's taking care of the kid. That's how he got lighter. That's how it works, right? No,
I don't know.
I feel like actually getting less sleep, you'd eat more because you're just like.
You're up and you're eating.
You're tired. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, also making a return this season, third jerseys.
Yeah!
The Caps announced today that they will be bringing back their third jersey. There was a lot of speculation about what the third jersey was going to be. Was it going to be the Stadium Series jersey? Were they going to bring back the Winter Classic? Was it going to be the old school, the first Winter Classic, the first throwback jersey? No, it's the return of the third jersey from like 2 years ago. It's the jersey the Caps wore from
2 years ago. Dude, it's their vintage jersey.
Right,
jealous.
Right. I mean, but it was the third jersey from 2 years ago. But it
Wait, hang on. I have one in my closet. Let me grab it. You can keep talking. I'm going to grab it. I took the headphones off. I'm going to grab it because I want to see if it's basically the same thing as they did years ago when they had that one.
Hold no. Okay, go ahead. Do your thing. So the third jersey is from 2 years ago. It's also the heritage jersey that the Caps would wear. They wore them from like the beginning of the team through the mid-90s. But the only real difference from this jersey from the one they wore back in the day is Washington back in the day was blue. And now it's white.
Yeah, that's the one that I have. I have the Reebok one. Also, by the way, so for my birthday, the wife got me the a Backstrom red with the Adidas with the Stanley Cup patch on it.
Nice.
Stanley Cup Champions patch, which I originally actually thought was the just the patch they wore during the finals, but it's not. And I was like, oh, I mean, it's still awesome, but I kind of wanted that one. But anyways, I don't actually think they sell that one, oddly enough. But did you notice... Because everything is bought from Fanatics now. It doesn't have the Adidas logo. It's like a Fanatics brand.
Yeah, I bought a Fanatics hat and the locker room t-shirt, and it's all Fanatics branded.
Yeah, that kind of annoyed me. And, Fanatics have been struggling. I think my sister got a t-shirt, and, like, the sleeves are off-size. Or, no, the fitting was very – it was like a women's fit, but it was, like, really weird. My wife picked up bought a shirt, and the print was off-centered. I saw people on Twitter who got like the Stanley Cup hats and like the Weagle logo had like fallen off. they struggled for a while to get stuff going. I kind of, yeah. So that was kind of like the fact that it's like a Fanatics brand. But this one's cool. I mean, I don't have a name on the back of it yet, but this is the jersey I've always wanted them to go back to. The old Reds.
Now, that was going to be my question. So when you tweeted me and to Ryan yesterday before this was announced, and you were saying, what do you guys think, you know, white? Oh, my light just came on. White, red.
I was holding a jersey like a jackass.
White, red. Are we going to go back to the 90s blue, the black with the
you
Capitol building?
The stadium series. And I was like, Brandon, you don't get a vote anymore.
I still like the stadium series. I don't care what you say. But
you're still wrong.
Is this third jersey the one you wanted, or were you thinking maybe they might do something different?
Okay, so this is a great question, because this seems to be our favorite topic is fashion in the NHL.
Hashtag high fashion.
I wanted the old Reds. I feel like I've been saying this for years. I want the old Reds back. Whether it was their permanent jersey or a third jersey, that was fine. I kind of want them to go with a fourth one as well. Here's why. All right. And this kind of goes into European football and soccer, MLS. Like, you have your standard home and away, which the Caps have. You have a third jersey you wear every once in a while. It's kind of fun. You know, maybe it's a vintage one. And then you have a fourth one, which you can kind of mess around with and do something interesting. Like, I feel like if this team went with or you get rid of the current red and white, you go with the old school red and whites as your permanent jerseys, and then your third jersey can be more experimental. So maybe you come in with a blue with the Weagle as the main logo, or maybe you go with that blue, which was the Stadium Series jersey, and you bring that one in as a third jersey. But I think to have these, I mean, these are just classic, very classy looking jerseys. It isn't like, and I know we're going to talk about this later, but the Coyotes, so stupid. I don't like it. Like, the layout is fine. I get what they're trying to do with the Coyote, but it looks like a Jackson Pollock painting or something. Or something like Star Lord. Stuff is like all over the place. I don't know what's going on. It's yeah, there's your bad. You know, I think going with the old Reds is great.
I like the old Reds.
The old red is my go-to when I go to a game, although it might have just been replaced by the new Backstrom from the Stanley Cup.
I did get a Stanley Cup champions. You kind of have to. Yeah, you got to. I mean,
I feel like I'm kind of obligated now.
Yeah, it's true. Got to keep her happy. I got a Stanley Cup champions patch. I put it on a dress shirt so I could wear it to work, because I haven't gotten a new jersey. Yeah, it's true. I haven't gotten a new jersey since the second Winter Classic jersey. It's the last one that I've purchased, but I do want to get a championship one. Let me show you right here.
All right, that's nice.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted, like, I had polos.
Hockey stick tie tech right there.
Oh, I was just at a wedding this past weekend, and friends of mine that were there had the tie clips. And I was like, that's interesting. I don't have one of those. I've never really wanted them. But then, like, the tie I had, like, if I turned, was like flying off to the side. And I was like, you know, a tie clip would be kind of interesting.
I'm bringing the tie clip back. Bringing them back.
Oh, where are you? The stick one.
Etsy.
Oh, duh. That's brilliant. Yeah. All right. I'm going to have to look that up after the game.
That's
a hell of a move.
Yeah. So,
anyways.
The third jerseys, the vintage red one, like the Caps unveiled, it's fine. Totally good. I like that jersey. I think they look great in it. However, I thought it was a little boring to go back to that jersey.
Red hat, helmet? Okay, but it's so classy.
So if you look at, like, the San Jose Sharks jersey, or you look at Philadelphia or St. Louis, or my favorite, the Winnipeg Jets. If the Caps were to do something like they did, where it's I love the San Jose Sharks jersey. They're called, like, the Stealth Mode or whatever, where it's...
I like the Sharks one, yeah.
It's black and it's got the logo on it. Like, if they were to do...
fit.
But, like...
Like, a black one doesn't fit for the Caps.
So do, like, a dark blue, like the Stadium Series, but don't put the red at the bottom.
Or... Wait, hold on. I'll be right back. Keep going.
So,
I got you on this one.
Dark blue, white stripe on the sleeves, and the Capitals logo in red. I think that would look really cool.
Bam, you go back with these. the old blues from the 90s with the Eagle logo. It says Capitals at the bottom. Bam! Done. Nailed it. He's just looking around, folks. He's not actually doing anything. You're like, he's lost his mind.
If you take something like the Jets, but instead of do the dark blue from the stadium series, do a white line on the sleeves, and then do your Capitals logo like you normally have on all of our jerseys, but in red, boom. I think that is a slick-looking special jersey.
See, I feel like you could do some practice jerseys.
Now, the practice jerseys are the big circles now.
No, I know, and they're all the same for every team, which is kind of lame. But I feel like your practice jerseys could be where you actually can do a little bit more experimental stuff and have some fun with it.
That's the thing. I think if they could have been a little bit more experimental, they could have done it. But I think after last year's boo-hoo fanboy cries, that they kind of were like, let's play it safe.
Whoa, what are you trying to say, man?
The internet has this thing. The internet has this thing. I don't know if you've noticed.
Ghost in my house, Brandon.
I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but no matter what comes out, the internet hates it.
Oh, people are always going to whine.
Which, I mean, a lot of people did with the Stadium Series jerseys, but I dug them. What?
They weren't terrible's a bit strong. It looks like that it was like they started with something and they're about halfway there. And then they realize that like their assignment was due the next day and they're like, screw it, just send it out.
I've done that many a times.
Yeah, right. Like it was 11:30. It was due by midnight. And they're like, oh, we just don't have time to finish it up. Just send it. Send it. It'll be fine. For that stadium series, I get a D+.
Now, I wouldn't have done the shortened caps. I wouldn't have done the shortened caps. I wouldn't have done the red at the bottom.
That didn't bother me as much. The cummerbund?
Yeah. I don't like, I mean, we're really getting deep here into jersey talk now, but I don't like any hockey team who changes the color of the shoulders.
The only person still listening is Ryan right now.
I think he checked out too. But like, I don't like any hockey team who puts like a different color on the shoulders. Like, I want it to just be solid. I don't like the different colored shoulders. Like the Caps jerseys that they have now, where they're all red and then they've just got like a line going down the sleeves, I'm cool with. But I don't like different colored shoulders.
Huh.
That's just me, though.
You know who's actually the third jersey I'm really digging? The Devils. Like the Christmas one?
Well, they always do that one.
I know, but it looks so just very, very nice, you know?
Calgary.
Oilers are nice.
It looks good.
Do I have that Oilers jersey?
Carolina's good. Columbus.
Oh, no, I have them.
Columbus is okay. Eh.
I think I have a blue or a white Oilers. Colorado one, I'm boring.
I like the Colorado one. I love the Flyers one, and I love the Jets.
Carolina's I can't even see because they made a video, and I'm not clicking it because my computer will, like, implode. The Ducks one is good. Having the new logo with the old logo just looks weird. I don't know why. It just looks funky to me. But no, I like they're bringing back third jerseys. I don't think any teams will go as crazy as I was before when I was talking about going like a fourth jersey. That's just kind of experimental thing. I really think teams from a marketing standpoint or the NHL is missing out on an opportunity to allow teams to design their own practice jerseys.
Now, hold on. Let me ask you this real quick. So the NFL back in the last 2 years, they would do color rush jerseys on Thursday night games.
Yeah, and they're all terrible.
The Ravens was pretty slick. I did enjoy those.
They were all black?
No, they were all purple. Gold numbers, all purple. The Redskins were god awful.
Oh, yeah, they look like pajamas. Those are terrible.
But they're kind of getting away from Wednesday night rivalry night, but they kind of do the featured
because there are no rivalries,
right? But they kind of do the featured Wednesday games. It would be interesting to see if the NHL were to do something like I'm not saying color rush because the color rush was not a good idea, but I'm just saying
some teams basically already do that.
I know, but I'm just saying like to do a special jersey for the Wednesday night games. Like if you're on national television, you have to have this special jersey. Do you see the NHL possibly doing that? I mean, anything for a buck, I could think.
See, from like a marketing standpoint, I could see it because you want to push jersey sales, which is why I feel like maybe you lower the cost of a practice jersey and make it a little bit more interesting. Mm-hmm. And like from there, you have the opportunity to make a little extra cash. Because right now, the practice jerseys are kind of crappy.
And they're still
like $120 for a jersey you're not even going to see them wear unless you go out to their practice facility. So it's not really,
which I'm not like going to anymore.
When you go to a European football match or a soccer game during warmups, the players are typically wearing a different jersey. It's a warm-up kit kind of thing. You don't see that necessarily in, I guess, really in sports over here. I guess baseball kind of. You don't really see, and the NBA doesn't. But I think it'd be kind of interesting if like the players came out, but this doesn't matter. The point is, the third jerseys, I think, look great. I think the other teams, overall, they look fine. I think the Phoenix, their old logo just looks kind of silly. That's just my personal standpoint. Like, I get what they're trying to do. It just, I never liked it. It just looks a little too comical. Flames is nice. Something about that, the red and the yellow, has always kind of been a bit of an eyesore for me. Columbus is nice, very classy.
Hulk Hogan-esque.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe it's because it's very like late 80s, early 90s kind of look. Yes. It's very classy, very nice. It's just something about those two colors always like the way they're on, it doesn't work. Avalanche, I don't like the logo, but the rest is fine. Oilers, always very classy, always very nice. Devils, looking cool, very Christmassy. Flyers, I screw them, and they're new. Did you see the picture of their new mascot?
That was... you talk about turning something in at the last minute. That new mascot is more terrifying than Pierre the Pelican.
It's his eyes! Like, oh, this is kind of... Oh, my God, that thing's looking into my soul. Like, it's the creepiest goddamn mascot. The Blues, looking good. Jets, fine. The script looks... I don't know. I don't like it. Again, I did miss an opportunity going old school there. I think that would have been cool. And maybe because it's owned by someone. What are you doing? Yeah, thanks for showing me the stupid things. It's so creepy. But yes, that I like it. I like the jerseys.
This looks like the younger nephew of the Grimace.
And it looks like, actually, you know what it is? It looks like Grimace. And what's his name? Yuppie, the old Expos and now Canadiens mascot. It looks like they hooked up and had a kid.
Hey, everybody.
But whichever one of Grimace or Yuppie is the female in this scenario was on crack. Because this thing's got some problems.
What is he supposed to be?
I don't know. A creepy-ass thing.
Like,
I don't like it.
Like we know Slapshot's an eagle. What is this? I don't know. This is the Grimace who has seen some things because he had to work the midnight shift at McDonald's.
Yeah, he's getting off of a 14-hour shift.
Hey guys,
and he just shot something up.
Who took on my Red Bull? Oh man, this has got to be our worst show we have ever done.
The last maybe 15 minutes have gone considerably off track. Going back into hockey, cap signed first round pick defenseman Alex Alexiev after an entry level deal. My guess is he ends up in Hershey if they don't send it. I should have looked at his age beforehand, but if he doesn't go back to juniors, he'll end up in Hershey if he's age eligible. You know, I don't think this guy necessarily has a shot at making the opening night roster, playing on the team this season necessarily, but crazier things have happened. But it's great to see that they signed the kid. You know, I think he's the future, talent for this team. No questions asked. Rosters, like we talked about, is pretty much set. Really, the big question is who's going to be the fourth line center. Like you said before, it's down to Dowd and Boyd. It looks like Dowd's got the inside track on it right now. You know, is Boyd going to be in Hershey or is he going to be hanging out in the press box every night? I'm not really sure which one that one's going to be. People keep asking about Chandler Stephenson, whether he's going to play center, because I believe he used to be a center, but it seems like the Caps just like him on the wing and he's going to stay there. And I actually think he did quite well on the wing. He really settled in and became a great player on the wing for this team. So I'm not worried about that one too much. And then they signed that Shumakov back in September, early September, so this month. God, it feels like this month's been so long. It feels like it's already 2 months later. we'll see how he does. I'm excited to see him. I actually want to get up. I think I've been saying this like 4 years now. I want to get up to a Bears game and actually go and hopefully see them win. I'm 0-5.
At the beginning of October, they will have the Stanley Cup at the game. It's a Sunday game.
What time?
I don't know.
I got Sunday soccer, man. I got to get back in time. I paid to play, so I got to be there.
I kind of want to go because...
Oh, what weekend, actually? Because I'm out of town every...
First weekend in October, the 6th, I think. But they... But I think it's they...
Disney.
They have the Prince of Wales trophy there as well, which I actually want to see.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. I'll be in Florida. That's pretty much Caps news.
I think we've covered everything in this hour and 20-minute long show of nothingness.
We got a couple NHL things. I mean, there's been... Dude, this was the off-season of, like, big trades.
Thank God we didn't do any shows.
Yeah, right? There were some big moves. I mean, two really big ones that happened this off-season. First was Montreal sending Max Pacioretty to Vegas. Like, George McPhee's not playing around. They sent... Vegas sent Tomas Tatar, Nick Suzuki, in a second-round pick in 2019 for Max Pacioretty. Adam McQuaid got dealt from the Bruins to the Rangers for Steven Kampfer, the fourth-round pick in 2019, a conditional seventh-round pick in, it doesn't say. And then the biggest trade to come out of this entire offseason had to have been Ottawa sending defenseman Erik Karlsson and forward Francis Perron to San Jose. Sharks are not playing around. They went out and acquired arguably the best defenseman in the league by bringing in Erik Karlsson. They sent forward Josh Norris, Chris Tierney, Rudolfs Balcers, and defenseman Dylan DeMello, as well as a conditional 2020 first-round pick, a conditional 2019 second-round pick, and two conditional draft picks.
That's quite the deal.
So Sharks are not screwing around. Vegas not screwing around. The Rangers are the Rangers, I guess. Like they're not. They're going for a bunch of young guys. They're a bit of a rebuild right now. But that Karlsson deal, there's a bunch. I mean, the Caps were talking about him at one point during. Apparently, they made a play for him at the deadline.
They wanted to trade Karlsson's, didn't they?
They wanted, yeah. Essentially, it sounded like it was going to be Karlsson for Karlsson. And instead, they signed our John Karlsson to a long-term deal, which was still a great move. But yeah, Erik Karlsson is out of the Eastern Conference, which was nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
As is Max Pacioretty. Nice, nice.
All things coming up, Caps.
I'm going to call it now. Bray, let's make a couple predictions. We hadn't talked about this before the show, so you have no idea. Who's going to be your surprise team of the East?
Oh, man.
Let me ask the question a little differently. Surprise team, either good or bad?
I think that Carolina will make the playoffs.
Oh, interesting.
They won't go far in the playoffs, but they'll make it.
Okay.
I think the Golden Knights will not make the playoffs.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting, considering the move they just made.
I think that the luster has maybe worn off a little bit. I think
you're right. Not that they won't make the playoffs, but I agree that. I don't think they're going to be as good. Sorry, go ahead.
They're already losing Nate Schmidt for 20 games. It's at the beginning of the year, and anything can happen later on. But anyway, I think that the what's the best Vegas term for this? You know, they thought that they were getting all sevens, and then they got a and then I don't know gambling at all. They went from playing the high roller table to the penny slot.
I think the chip on the shoulder of the players may not be quite as big as it was last year when they were like, well, you know what? Let me screw you. I'm going to prove you wrong. I don't think that's quite there anymore.
Right.
So I think some of that will affect them. My Western Conference surprise. I kind of am tied between two Canadian teams. What I'm thinking, I think one of either Vancouver or Edmonton make the playoffs.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to be Edmonton. I kind of feel like Vancouver is going to surprise everybody and make the playoffs. And I have no reason to say that other than I kind of like the Canucks.
And here, the Western Conference final, one of the teams?
Yeah.
LA Kings.
Because of Kovalchuk?
It's a big part of it.
Oh, I think San Jose put a real big old stake in their claim to be there.
I'm seeing San Jose. Maybe that'll be the final. Can that be the final? Kings and Sharks?
In the Western Conference final.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Are they in the same division? They will meet in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, the Pacific, I want to say. Yeah. No, that'll that's fair. They're gonna be two really good teams. It's a good one.
I'll go back to the East. Carolina makes the playoffs. Pittsburgh doesn't.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because the demons have been exorcised.
Huh. I don't actually care quite the way you think, buddy. I think Arizona still going to be at the bottom of the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Chicago is going to make a better play. They were seventh last year. I think they're definitely going to do better.
Yeah, they did not do well.
Yeah, that crappy season. Okay, I'll make one more prediction, and I'm not trying to be mean. I think Boudreaux is out of a job by mid-January.
Oh, I was gonna go Thanksgiving.
I think he's out in Minnesota by mid-January, but I'm just speculating.
Okay. I can see that. That makes a lot of sense.
It'll be interesting to see.
Does a team pick him up? Or is this it for his coaching?
This is his last coaching job.
Interesting.
But I think that would be his call. I think someone else would take a chance on him if he wanted to do it.
Is that the show? Are we finished?
I think you covered everything. You're welcome, everyone, for the Jersey talk. I know you guys are very excited.
I swear, everyone, we will be better if this is your first show.
No!
No, this is about it every week.
Everyone's wrong. We're like, no, because we don't really talk about it. It's kind of like because we had the stadium series, and that's like the last time we had an interesting. Or it's like if one of us buys something interesting, we're like, dude, check it out. Look what I got.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy.
Think about it. Think about it for a while.
Do you really want to talk to us? I'm pretty sure we just got blocked by our buddy Ryan.
It's like, you know what? I changed my mind.
You can tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking about all kinds of stuff, probably more so now than in the summer. I'm kind of quiet. I don't really do a lot of tweeting. A little bit more now. Hockey's coming back. The Premier League is back. Serie A. I see your cat. Other sports things are back. I'm, a disgruntled Redskins fan and sort of following the Bills. But I might be jumping back onto Twitter like Josh Allen was jumping over that Vikings defender yesterday. But hey, if you like the show, if you've enjoyed our Jersey talk, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuck, where we post. We're going to have new shows, other interesting Capitals information that we find throughout the week, and all sorts of fun stuff. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, can you do us a favor and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
So go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck, and all the other
new show about birds.
About birds. What the Pluck. Get all the information you need there, brandocash.com. And I do another podcast if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan. It's called The Call, and we cover the Baltimore Ravens. We do two shows a week.
How come y'all didn't have me on the show after I went to the game?
You didn't ask.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you're...
Dude, it's a nice stadium.
It's a great stadium. It really is. I mean, I'm not just playing.
I'm not saying it's disgruntled, but it's better than FedEx Field.
Anything is better than that toilet bowl.
That's not true. That's
a terrible.
And this
stadium.
Joke is specifically from Ryan Drury. Tottenham Stadium is a toilet bowl. Brandon, go look it up.
Okay.
Tottenham Hotspur new stadium, overhead view. It looks like a toilet bowl. It's funny as hell. FedExville is fine. It's just very generic and boring. Okay. Apparently, they have improved the sound quality around the stadium and some of the other things. They brought in some guy from the outside to improve a lot of things. Apparently it has gotten better. I had the chance to go to a game the win over the Packers. The wife was sick, and so I chose to stay home. So I've heard it's better. By the chance, I might aim at some point in the next couple of years, because I'm still disgruntled.
Yeah, I went there in 2012, and I still don't want to go back. So I'm good.
Every time I've gone, the only time I've ever had an issue with people have been opposing teams fans. And really, it was just the Giants fan.
Yeah, they're not great.
Everyone else has been fine.
But like Coach Dan said, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Follow us on Twitter at whatthepuckpod. And we do this show for free, obviously. And you listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Baltimore Sports Support Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch. Anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. You have no idea what Twitch is, do you? I don't even think you're there.
No, I'm here. You disappeared for a bit audio-wise.
No.
I'll let you just wrap it up. I don't really say much of this show.
Go over to Twitch, all those places, and say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I'm a fan of the Washington Capitals, who are the Stanley Cup champions. And they got me ready for the new season. I love What the Puck, and you should listen to them. So until next time, there are only 3 games left of the preseason. So let's go over those real quick. On September 25th, at St. Louis against the Blues. Caps are playing at 8 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. Then they have a couple days off. Friday, the Caps come home to D.C. up against the Carolina Hurricanes. That game starts at 7 o'clock, NBC Sports Washington. And then on Sunday, up against the St. Louis Blues. Blues and Blues. It's a very sad Oreo right there. You got Blues, Hurricanes, and Blues. That game is at 3 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington and the NHL Network here in the U.S. Coach Dan, will we see Devontae Smith-Pelly in one of these last 3 games?
I sure as hell hope so.
Yeah, me too.
Well, is he gonna play? I think actually he's not going to play in the first game against the Blues. I have to say it's a bit disappointing he hasn't played. But I think he plays the last 2 games. And if he only plays one, I think he's definitely not playing opening night.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, and we will be back to do a show before the beginning of the season, and that's going to be on October 3rd, so make sure you follow us over on Facebook and Twitter, and that'll be when you figure out when we do a new show, because it'll be before the beginning of the regular season, when the Caps hoist that banner. So, Coach Dan, that's pretty much it for the show this week. That's you.
Yeah!
Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.
Because I was the last one that was talking.
I was, and then you told me you couldn't hear me.
Yeah, but I don't know what you're saying. Well, if we go off of mine...
It was probably brilliant.
I don't know. I've listened to our shows before.
That's right. The Capitals announced today that they will be...
Yes, they will.